Hi, this is filmmaker BJ Colangelo, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment. To the default setting. This is your host, Jess Falstick.
And co-host, Gigi Chick.
And today we are talking to guest filmmaker, singer, dancer, beautiful lady, my hashtag homemate and hashtag BFFX, Ms. BJ Colangelo.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
Hello.
Oh, I'm great.
I'm super mad that I have to call you Gigi Chick all day because I know your true identity.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, normally it's, yeah, my nickname's Gigi, but Gigi Chick is my Instagram.
And Gigi Chick rhymes with Falstick, so.
Oh, I didn't, holy shit, my.
Now you can get a rap intro.
We're new to the game.
We already decided that at some point, I've already seen how quickly DJs end up getting these sound machines, because you want these sound effects and these kind of things.
Yeah,
I can't
them.
Really explain, but we've already said we need rap horn, we need middle-aged ladies doing a somewhat appropriating Spanish trill.
Always.
We have our special guest Brutus, who may occasionally offer up cat sound effects.
Perfect.
So, ha ha! Perfect. I'm talking way too close to this because I don't have the pop filter on my thing anymore. So today, we are going to rap about BJ's default setting. And we were talking a little bit about before the show. What do we want to say? It's like a lack of sugarcoating?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's definitely my default setting in all aspects of life and in all interactions, which is why a lot of people, I mean, also the rusting bitch face probably doesn't help my cause, but I do have somewhat of a reputation of being bitchy or a ball buster, but really it's just that I don't sugarcoat anything because that's how I was raised. Nothing was ever sugarcoated for me. My parents were always, you know, brutally honest about the things that were going on in the world around me. They never really limited my consumption of media. So, you know, maybe that's neglectful parenting. Maybe it's preparing me for the real world. Who's to say?
Who's to say? Yeah. I think, like, when was your first realization that, like, your parents weren't holding anything back? Like, was it a comparison amongst other peers when you realized, like, what their parents were shielding them from?
The big one, for sure, was when I was six and my parents got a letter home from school from the PTA warning them about South Park. Because when South Park came out, I was 6 and a half.
Oh, good God.
And I know, I'm a baby. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna go yell at a cloud.
Oh, yeah, you're younger than I am.
I'm younger than you.
Baby, crying baby sound effect.
I don't like you that.
Yeah, so I was a small child. And
she's older than Tabitha, though, so we're moving up in
Tabitha.
Age. Yeah,
you're
I know, right?
You're doing pretty good for yourselves. But, yeah, the school sent a note home that was like, don't let your children watch this. It may be animated, but it's not for children.
But it's super real.
And all of my, you know, obviously that made all of my friends be like, well, what is this cartoon? I want to watch it. And my parents were like, fuck that. We're going to watch it. And we watched it together and it was hilarious.
So did they not even know about South Park until that?
No, they had no idea.
Oh my God, that's so great.
They had no idea. And I remember later on that year, or maybe it was the year after, they were doing a South Park marathon on New Year's Eve. So my parents dropped me off at my grandma's house on New Year's Eve, and my dad specifically told me, like, you need to take this VHS tape and you need to record every episode of South Park off the TV, but don't let your grandma know you're doing it because she will flip shit.
So your grandma actually knew what it was?
Oh, yeah. She knew what it was. She thought it was vulgar and disgusting and awful, and she, you know, would always scoff whenever she found out I was watching it. I had a South Park shirt, and she was like, you can't wear that at my house. So there's a VHS tape somewhere at my in my parents' house that's just nothing but South Park episodes with the occasional channel switch over to Kablam, which was the Nickelodeon show, because there was a Kablam marathon on Nickelodeon. So I was just going back and forth between South Park and Kablam.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds great. Like
it was like a Nickelodeon's answer to like Liquid Television is the only way I can think about it. Like it was sketches.
I also don't know what that is because I'm too fucking old.
Liquid Television was right in your wheelhouse. Okay, so but this would be more like
I didn't have cable. Either,
yeah,
was the thing.
Yeah, it was like a MTV thing.
I'm old and grew up in the sticks, so I don't know culture. There's gonna be a lot of that shit going on. I'll be like, Gigi's like my resident young expert. Like, Gigi, what the hell is this guy talking about?
Or I'll text you and be like, you youngins. Like, I don't remember what it was that I texted
you. Whippersnappers.
You whippersnappers.
But, okay, so it, you were watching Kablam when your grandmother came over. And
yeah, so anytime, like, my grandmother would go up to, like, use the bathroom, I'd switch it to Kablam. And then when she went back to sleep, it would go back to South
I just
Park.
Want you to keep saying Kablam because I'm high as Kablam. Like, it's just like, Kablam sounds funny. It reminds me of Yo Gabba Gabba, but I'm sure it wasn't anything like that.
No,
okay.
Like Kablam's, Kablam's like most well-known thing is they had a superhero show that was made of like weird like Dollar Tree toys that were all like one was like a Barbie doll that was clearly like a knockoff Wonder Woman. And then there was one called The Flesh, and it was just a giant naked action figure and they would blur out his genitals. Like that would never happen today. So like maybe my grandma could have been a little less judgmental because there weren't blurred genitals on South Park. There right. were just cartoon felt genitals.
The irony is that there was a South Park episode where they stopped letting gay people be Boy Scout troop leaders, and then the quote unquote straight one started molesting them all. So it's like the irony of like she didn't want you to watch South Park, so instead you're watching blurred genitals because the thing she thought was healthier for you. Yep. Ended up being the bad thing. Yeah. I've seen a lot of South Park. It's pretty much all I've watched my entire life is Simpsons and South Park. So if you make references to anything else, I'll just be like, ha, that's funny. That was a reference to South Park. BJ knows a shitload about all of the movies because she has seen all of the movies.
And I own all of them.
And she owns all the movies. It is like you could make many forts out of the VHS tapes that we have that you have at your house.
Like since you brought up like movies, that was kind of my other thing is I was a former toddler in Tiara, and when I did child beauty pageants, they would make you fill out like a little form of all of the things that you like and be like, you know, this is little Janelle, she likes the color pink and wants to be a doggy doctor, and her favorite flower is the dandelion. Isn't that cute? Because it's actually a weed and not a flower. Like, it's always stupid shit like that. But I would always get in trouble from my mom because she'd be like, well, what's your favorite movie? And be like, Serial Mom. She's like, you're five. Like, that can't be your favorite movie. I'm like, okay.
Is that like an adulty movie? See, I don't know. I don't know any
Serial Mom
movies.
Is a John Waters movie.
Oh, shit. Okay.
where Kathleen Turner plays a mother who kills anyone who wrongs her family. Her her children being played by Fat Ricky Lake and Matthew Lillard. Yeah, it's fantastic. And then my other favorite movie as a kid was Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, which
I like that
while
movie.
That one's a little bit more palatable, like it's definitely still not a kid's movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never had like the favorite, like, I'm going to be a Disney princess. Like that was just never my life because I had more to watch than the same 12 Disney movies over and over again. So I think that was the time where my mom finally had to explain to me, like, you're allowed to watch these things, but you probably shouldn't be allowed to watch these things. And the way they explained it to me is when we would see the little notice on the television that said like TVMA or TVE. And they would explain like, this is TVE. This means that everyone can watch it. This is TVMA, which means you should probably be 17 to watch it. So you should be thankful you have cool parents that let you. And it sort of made it feel really special and something that I like forever feel as a bonding agent between my parents and I. Mm. But at the same time, I think I grew up a lot faster than most people, which as an adult is awesome because I don't deal with nearly as many like 20 something issues as my my fellow 20 somethings because I've kind of been there, done that already at this point. And I think not being sugar-coated to things, you know, did lead to probably some poor decision making during my adolescence. I did go through a drug phase. I did go through whore phase. I don't know if I ever.
Whore. I was like, whore phase. I was like,
what was that word?
I don't know if I ever graduated out of my whore phase. I think that just was like in
I don't
existence.
Think you need to graduate out of a whore phase. A whore, whore phase doesn't even have to be a phase.
But what about the whore phase?
The whore phase?
It's like when Danny DeVito says whore on a Always Sunny.
Yeah, I never graduated from my whore phase. no, I don't think I mean, I think a lot of that does have to do with my parents being, you know, they're very open about alcohol and like my parents didn't do drugs, but a lot of their friends did. And they were not ever quiet about it. Like it was never a secret. Like if somebody randomly left to go to the bathroom while we were all at a restaurant and I'd be like, well, where are they going? They were just in the bathroom. My mom would be like, they're probably doing a line. And I'm like, oh, wow. What does that mean? And they're like, well, this is what cocaine is. Don't ever
that
do
is
it.
So
and here's
funny.
Why. And they like to teach me, I think, a lot by example and exposure. Like they weren't the people that were like, this is what coke is. Try it. But they were like, this
if you're
going to
try
is.
It, at least be at home.
they're very much like, well, here, you know, here's what something is. We're going to explain to you what it is. And, you know, for some people, you know, cocaine can make you like really hyper, but for some people it becomes an addiction and it can ruin lives. So your best bet is to not take the chance and don't do it. And I think because they were so honest with me about it, like I never had kind of that like secret want the way that like most kids feel after they sit through a DARE program and they're like, well, shit, now I want to try it. That sounds crazy awesome. I never had that because they gave me both sides immediately. It was never like, here's a scare tactic. It was like, no, we're going to be logical. This is how this works.
You had everything explained to you.
Exactly. And I think that's where a lot of parents kind of fuck up their kids is because if you completely ban something from somebody and don't give them a reason why, they just want it more.
Yeah. Or give them a sugar-coated reason why because that exactly. can be just as that can be just as bad.
Yeah. And that's not to say that like my parents still like let me believe in Santa Claus, but then like when I started figuring it out, they were like, yeah, it's us. And
they didn't like dance around.
Yeah,
that.
They didn't dance
Glad
around.
Glad you got here.
And then they explained, you know, sort of like the existential reason behind Santa Claus and like why that's like such a well accepted lie. And you know, it's nice to have that open communication with parents because I know a lot of people don't have that. And I also know that no matter what I do in my life, whether it be positive or negative, they're not going to give me shit for it. They're just going to want an explanation the same way that they, you know, that I would expect of them.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Did either one of them or both of them grow up in sort of a similar way, or were they sort of almost, was it almost kind of like a knee-jerk reaction to being brought up conservatively?
Combination of both. So my mom, she's very much like Fiona on Shameless. Her dad left when she was probably, you know, in her early teens, and she was responsible for raising her brothers and sisters while my grandmother had a bunch of different jobs. So because of that, my mom was forced to grow up very early. And she spent a lot of years confused and not understanding exactly why things were the way they were. Why did my dad leave? Why am I in charge of raising these kids? Why can't I, you know, be on cheerleading? Like, why do I have to get a job? And that sort of reality smack hitting her when she was, you know, trying to start the rest of her life, I think is what made her make the decision. Like, I never want my kids to go through that. Whereas my dad, while he wasn't raised conservatively, he is a military brat. So there is there's a level of discipline with that and a level of do what you're told and, you know, listen to what we say because we said it. And I don't think that was something that ever really meshed well with him. So I think that's where it comes with me.
It's kind of half and half.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. Did both your parents sort of agree, though, that that was the way to do it? Or was it one that sort of overrode the other?
I think that it was something that they both consciously came to an agreement on as I was getting older. I was also like a gifted child. So I was consuming more adult material, even in just reading faster than most people. So it was hard for them to limit the things that I was watching when, in order to challenge me mentally, they had to give me more adult content as far as literature is concerned. Like, they don't really make, you know, extensive chapter books that are still like babified. Like that just isn't really a thing. It's the harder something is to read, the more adult it gets. Like look at the Harry Potter books. Like the original Harry Potter books are very much meant for children. And then as they get older, they're very much like at like older adolescents.
That's interesting. So she wrote them to kind of age with the demographic or.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's interesting. I never realized that.
Yeah. So that's sort of how my parents felt about it. Like I was reading at a fifth grade level when I was in kindergarten. So I was obviously reading fifth grade material books, which are not meant for kindergartners. So I think that's kindergarten's really where everything sort of shifted. Like they were really open with me when I was a toddler, but like once I was in the school system and especially because I was in a public school system in, you know, not a great area in Chicagoland, I was exposed to things a lot sooner than, you know, most people who get to grow up in, you know, wealthier suburbs. Like crime was prevalent before I even got to junior high. So they had to be honest with me about, you know, some people live in poverty. Some people have anger issues. Some people can't afford to eat that day. And that's why they're so mean, which was awesome because it gave me a really, not the situation was awesome, but like it was a good, the honesty from them was awesome because it helped me learn to better relate to the people that are around me.
Was it one of those things that they were usually pretty good about being preemptive about these topics, or did they kind of wait for you to come home and then talk about this stuff?
They were preemptive for the most part. There was only a few instances where they weren't. Like I got my period before they could explain it to me. And my mom's first reaction when she picked me up from the nurse was, oh, shit, I thought I had a few more years, which, you know, was kind of a sticking point for us. Like, how could you not tell me this? How could you not explain this to me? And her reasoning was because this is something that you're going to deal with for the rest of your life and it sucks. And I didn't want to scare you ahead of time. Mm-hmm. But then she even admitted, I probably should have told you because you sat through your, you know, literature class thinking you were dying.
Yeah.
So
I mean, was it a pretty young age?
Oh, it was 9.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, to her credit, yeah, my mom didn't tell me, I think, until I was 10 because she figured it was going to happen in the next year or two because she was, like, really young. But, yeah, I can kind of see where that everybody was probably way thrown off about.
Oh, yeah.
It was. We want to keep you in that bubble of bliss as long as you can.
Exactly.
That's like kind
of
sweet.
Not knowing what the rest of your adult life is going to look like.
Exactly. When I even, like, I yelled at her about it. I was like, if this is like a natural bodily function, why did you hide this from me? And she's like, because it's terrible.
It's literally the worst.
I was like, oh, you're it is the worst. Right. I get it.
The actual worst one.
I just remember thinking, wait, so every single month till when? And it was like,
yeah, me too.
For like years. And I was like, I could not wrap my mind around it. Just being so upset. And I remember coming.
Were you upset?
Well, in like a really angry way, because I was just like, well, that's just ridiculous.
That's bullshit.
Because to me, it was just this shocking thing that I'm like, this really is painful and sucks. And I remember coming downstairs and my two younger brothers were like playing video games or something. I remember I just could have killed them. I was like, you don't even know what pain is.
Wait, so were you going through it when your mom explained it to you, or how did it go down?
Honestly, I don't really remember like a specific time that my mom talked to me about it.
As touchy and menstruaty as this podcast.
Fucking get over it.
Ladies.
Yeah.
But I remember like in fifth grade, that was like the main like lesson we had about what to expect.
Okay.
We all got like weird packages of like deodorant and giant
deodorant
like,
for when you're on giant your period. Pads. Like, I need more deodorant.
Yeah. Shit, man. Public school outside Chicago, you got the individual talks in second grade. So, like, the...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the boys went in one room and the girls went to the other.
And holy
then,
shit.
And then fifth grade was the co-ed. We're going to talk about how babies are made and how it may give you gonorrhea. So, that
we
was...
We got an eighth.
Yeah, that
we
was
had
the fifth grade talk.
We had to play spin the wheel on of STDs when I was in high school.
Wait, what does that even mean?
Basically, the worst game ever. So, literally, my teacher...
Can you buy a vowel?
Who hated children, had a giant... wheel, pretty sure she made it herself in her basement, a giant wheel that looked like something out of Jeopardy, and it had just different triangles of STDs that you could potentially get, and boys and girls had to take turns going up and spinning.
Shut
and
up.
I'll never forget my friend Seamus went up.
Seamus,
he was just this big burly like hilarious class clown of a guy. He goes up there and he's just like, woohoo, let's do this, and spins it, gonorrhea. Like, We all thought it was so shocking.
But what does it mean when you get gonorrhea?
Like, I don't really remember.
Did she even teach you, or was it like, congratulations, you have gonorrhea?
That's how easy it is.
If you actually had this, it wouldn't be good. No, I don't remember like how that game ended, really. But I do remember seeing really graphic slides and everything. So they definitely taught us.
We had pop-up books.
Yeah, we had slides. Pop-up books. Come on. I wish
I was kidding. Like,
but was it like anime, like cartoon drawings?
No, they were like relatively medically accurate, but like the weird one.
Why would any? What would like possess the, a person?
Like
the, as if it's not terrifying.
Like
on
the
its
penis
own.
One makes a lot of sense to me because, like, obviously that's people were what like, it does. But like the ovary one was really jarring because you know what it like. It looks like a bowl. Like that's kind of what it
I'm
is.
I'm a Taurus,
exactly. So like you just open the thing and it's just like a fucking bullhorn in your face.
Oh my You're God. Like, wait, yeah. I have. Balls too.
At least it didn't project like marbles at you when you opened it. Oh, thank God! Like,
oh no. These are eggs. Oh yeah, that would have been terrible. But like, but going back to like the sugar coating thing, like there were so many people in my classes that were horrified of everything that was being that taught to them, that they were being, you know, this is my future kind of thing. And because my parents got it out of the way so much earlier, I was like, all right, well this is fine. Like I get it, and I think it was also helpful because I did. You know, mature so much earlier, both mentally and physically. So when I was, you know, an eighth grader with massive boobs and not knowing how to deal with like unwanted attention from adults, I was prepared for it. Whereas, you know, some of my friends, we were actually talking about this over Thanksgiving break, how there's like this moment that most women have where they realize, like, remember when we were in, like, eighth grade and we were super cute and we were, like, walking down the street and some trucker, like, honked at us and we're like, oh, my God, I look great today. And then you look back at it and you're like, that guy was a predator. Like, what the fuck? Like, everyone has that moment. And I think because of my parents not sugarcoating anything, I've always had the, like, that guy's a predator.
You had that perspective instantly.
They're all predators.
Exactly.
In real time.
I also grew up really close to the Navy base outside Chicago. Shit. So, like, my first introduction to the idea of, like, one-night stands or, like, boys only want you for one reason kind of mentality was my mom being like, if a sailor asks you to go hang out, you say no because they're on leave and they're just trying to fuck you. And I was like, that's mean and harsh. And she's like, all right, don't believe me. See what happens. So then I would go to the mall and there'd, of course, be some like thirsty ass guy that's like, hey, you want to go back to the base for a little bit? And I'm like, holy shit.
I'm a sailor.
She's right.
So my grandmother told me that especially if they say they're submarine races, you should stay away from those boys. Because I guess there's a line my grandfather, 10 years her senior, she was 18.
Because they're basically the nautical version of mole people.
And
like
they're
so cut off.
Hard and full of semen. No, because I guess she literally, like, he came up to her at, like, a bar, and he was like, hey, you want to go down to the beach? And she was like, not really. And he's like, no, there's submarine races going on. And that's, like, the classic code for, like, trying to score with your lady, which he did, which thank the good Lord, because then I wouldn't be here telling you this story about how my grandma got felt up by my grandpa under the premise of submarine races. I can hear Pete giggling.
What a sweet story that was.
I also love that touching. I also love that she's like, if they say submarine races, don't go. And it's like, but grandma, that's how you, how am I supposed to find love? This is how you found love.
But I've never seen submarines race.
It's true. You won't. That's the thing.
We'll never see them.
And you never
will.
What
was it? The snipe hunt was back in the day too. It was like a bird that didn't exist. Like, oh yeah, you should go look for hunting for snipes. I don't know. I'm from the country. Did I mention that I grew up in the sticks? This was like, it's like, I think that's what a wild goose chase is too. When you tell somebody that there's like something out there and they should go looking for it. And then you start to think about how silly that all sounds. I don't know. I've been smoking a lot of weed. What I was going to ask was, at what point, maybe we already talked about this. I know, like you said, at one point you realized in comparison to your peers, your parents were not sugarcoating things. Like, mm-hmm. Was there ever a point where you kind of thought like, maybe mom and dad, you should have probably held off on that? Or
I think in hindsight, I look back at probably the way that I treated a lot of people. Brutal honesty is not something a lot of people want when they are like in pain or when they're just needing a friend. And I did not have a lot of friends in elementary school and in junior high school. And I think in large part it was because I was so honest with everybody and I didn't sugarcoat anything. To the point where, you know, people, something as simple as like, you know, do you think that Jeremy's going to ask me to the dance? I'd be like, fuck no, he's going with Susan.
You're like, and it's no, like, everyone knows.
I probably shouldn't have said that because at the time, while I was like, I was just being honest, I did her a favor. Like, that was devastating. And like, now I'm a bitch. So I've learned in the years to, I've developed a little bit more tact in how I interact with people. But I think, yeah, definitely the way I treat people, because my parents are always so brutally honest with me that sometimes, I mean, even today, they're so brutally honest with me that there's a lot of mom, like, conversations at home. And it's always, I'm just being honest. It's like, oh, maybe don't. Like the big one recently is my sister's a bodybuilder and she's a babe. Like, she's, you know, great shape, like long, amazing red hair, like huge booty from doing squats. And I'm built like I'm 82% generic brand butter. So
I said, I can't believe it's not butter.
So my mom has a tendency when, you know, talking to me about appearances, especially in comparison to my sister, it'll be like, you know, you really should talk to her. I'm sure that she would do a world of like wonder for you. Like, you would be great. Like, look at her bone structure. You guys have the same bone structure. You like, you could look like that. And it's like, you're right. And that's 100% an accurate assessment. But please don't say shit like that to me because it can be interpreted as hurtful. So that's a trait that I've developed from them that I hate that I have, but I'm at least conscious.
You could get
enough.
A boob job, Kelly. What's going on? What's up? That's her mom's real name.
It is my mom's real name.
I still haven't met your parents. I feel like
my parents are sassy people.
They're sassy people.
My dad looks like Joe Pesci too. So just picture
like Joe Pesci on roids, who also got calf implants,
and he's like taller.
Yeah,
but yeah, my like so just picture like Joe Pesci in the cop uniform in Home Alone, being brutally fucking honest and reading you to filth. Like, that's my dad. So yeah, that's kind of what it is. That's probably why I like drag queens so much, because I'm like, you remind me of home. Tell me more about how awful I am.
Yeah, I mean, see, that was the thing. Like, I grew up like, so another reason I don't know movies or films is because I like being protected in this little bubble of like cuddly, cutesy comedy stuff, because my parents for so long wanted to protect me from like all the horrible things happening in the world. So I do think that can be detrimental. Although my mom was like, it was weird. She was the kind of person who she let us believe in Santa Claus till I was like 12, because it was just a happier place to be in my head than where I was in junior high, which was bullied a lot. Anyway, they tried to make sure that we were like as cushioned as humanly possible. And I think that was detrimental in a lot of ways. It has made me also like, kind of to your point, I've never been a brutally honest person, but see, now I'm trying to move back more the other way, where I'm like assertive and tell people to fuck off when I should. And
we should just like have a baby and then you raise it the way your parents raised you and I'll raise it the way my parents raised me. And then it will be like perfectly medium and be able to understand like the softness,
medium well,
and the comfort, but also the horrors of reality.
And then that baby would grow up to rule the world. And then that baby was known as Oprah.
That is so weird, because I literally thought Oprah. When he said rule the world.
Every once in a while, Shane and I do like the exact same thing at the exact same time, and it's terrifying. You'll hear about this later, sure. Yeah. So did your parents ever make things up to kind of keep you guys protected? Or
They didn't make things up. It's kind of weird. They didn't really sugarcoat anything necessarily. But, you know, my dad was definitely, like, the strict one in the family. And, like, we were not allowed to watch The Simpsons or even Rugrats or anything that involved rapping, even a dinosaur rapping about how it became extinct. So that's a true story. Paperback Princess.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
So did they not want urban culture in their household?
Well, he did not. No, apparently not.
That's racist.
Oh, yeah. So,
name is Stega, and I'm here to say we'll all die from an asteroid someday.
Yeah, basically, that's what it was. So,
is this when you tell us you weren't allowed to watch Barney and Friends?
Oh, we watched Barney all the time.
See, Barney was very, like, conservative, Christian friendly for the
but
most
that was
part.
Like over the, I mean, yeah, the show was over the top, but anyways.
My bad.
That's for a Barney rant later.
for our episode where someone's default setting is a giant purple dinosaur.
Their fear of Barney like dinosaurs.
Public accent or public domain songs. Right, sorry. All right. I'm done. I'm going to stop now.
Yeah. So like we literally weren't allowed to watch a lot of like, you know, young adult, like mainstream media of any kind. But looking back, I can kind of appreciate, I guess you could say, the result of that, which was we grew up with only like classic films, like black and white.
Oh,
like,
shit. See, yeah,
I've seen the most obscure, like old movies, and we loved it. And we kind of just like embraced it as kids and grew to love it. And now looking back, I kind of appreciate that. But at the same time, as far as like parenting, I'm definitely more in the camp of you should teach your kids, at least if you're not, if you don't want your kids to do something yet. You should at least explain why, because we didn't have anything really explained to us.
So did you?
It was just like, that's wrong, you're not allowed. And that was it.
Did you ever kind of have the moment like BJ was talking about where you kind of were like, fuck that, I'm going to figure out what this shit's about because of that? Or were you guys pretty?
Not really. It was more of just like, just kind of upset. It was almost like you were hurt by it because you just wanted to be considered like more of a respected, like, being to at least understand what was going on in the world and why things were the way that they were and whatever. So I don't know.
Brutus wants to be a better cat. Oh, he's a big black fluffy
those
cat.
Hips.
He's crawling around. He's being a good boy. He hasn't made any meows or purrs or general sounds. Although we might teach him how to do a rap horn. Yeah. Meow, 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 meow. Oh god,
that would be incredible. Yeah.
Make all the regular sounds but with cats, so like a toilet flushing, like meow.
That's what you need. You just need like a cat soundboard, like yeah. Fuck the rap siren.
Yeah.
Just
meow, 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 meow.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't even know what that was. Oh yeah. There we go. It's that hour where we're just gonna make sound effects for the next half hour. So what do you, I mean, like, would you say that you're pretty much across the board the same level of no holds barred, like with people you're close with as people you don't know, or?
People that I'm close with, I tend to be a little bit more honest, but because I have developed tact in the last, hopefully like 10 years, my thoughts are still completely unfiltered and terrible. But the way I present them has changed, which took a very long time for me to finally figure out that maybe pull somebody aside and tell them that like there's something on their teeth. Don't just be like, what the fuck's in your mouth? Because people don't appreciate that. And I think that finding that level of tact has made me, I would say it's made me a better person in general, because I think a lot more before I speak, because I'm aware of how hurtful being abrasive can be, because I have been on, you know, the receiving end of that with my parents. Because for every, you can listen to any music you want, I don't care if you're in first grade, welcome to Slayer, motherfucker, like well, that's awesome. Being told like that dress makes you look fat as shit, like that doesn't really help.
Right.
That doesn't help people. So I think that like me not sugarcoating things, though, when people have problems, that has not gone away. Like when people come to me like, oh my god, he cheated on me again, what do I do, like I have zero filter. It's like, fucking leave them and move on.
It's true, she does. I've had moments of weakness where I've texted her, no one's cheated on me, but I've had moments of weakness where I texted her something and she'd be like, get the fuck away from that person. And it's via text, but I know that's how it sounds in her voice.
Yeah. Like the amount of times, I do have an adopted sister who I love very dearly, but she's definitely still, you know, on the path to trying to figure out, you know, who she is in this life. And, you know, she's a grown adult. She's, you know, late 20s. And she's like, oh, I can't block my ex on Facebook. I want them to see me when, like, I'm doing better. And when I move on, I want them to see it. I'm like, why? Fucking why? Move on with it. Like, you are, nothing good is coming out of this.
Yeah.
And that's an instance where, you know, I'm never going to be the friend that's like, you go, girl, you don't need them. Or like, sure, let's talk and shit on it all day. Like, that's not me. If somebody comes to me and they're like, you know, this girl at work was talking shit, and it's like, did you do something shitty? Like, let's assess that first. You didn't do something shitty? All right, she's probably got some issues at home. That's none of your concern. Move on.
Shut it down.
Yeah. Like, I can't not be brutally honest, and sometimes it gets me into trouble, sometimes it doesn't.
Have you ever, when talking, when you say things or tell your parents about stuff, has there ever been a time where they wished you hadn't been so honest?
God, yeah.
Yeah.
My mom gets it way more than my dad, because, like, there are certain topics that while my dad is fully aware of, like, my sexual exploits, I'm not going to bring them to the dinner table because it's not something that, like, he's going to appreciate. He'll laugh about it. He'll say, oh, God. But I also personally don't want my dad, like, knowing the in-depths of my sex life. My mom, on the other hand, like, she gets all of the gross shit because she can handle it and she thinks it's funny. But there was a time in high school when I had a relationship, and by relationship, I was fucking somebody probably shouldn't have been, who may or may not have been a student teacher. And I told my mom all about it, and she's like, I really appreciate your honesty. I'm really, you know, glad you're telling me this. You just made me be put in a really uncomfortable situation because I don't know if I should call the cops. Like, yeah. Do you feel like you're being preyed upon? Is he manipulating you? I was like, no. Oh my God, no. I was like, if anything, I'm in charge. She's like, all right, that's fine. Like, I'm just don't tell me about this anymore. Like, please be safe. Continue doing what you're doing. But, like, if you get any legal trouble, like, understand that, like, you've now kind of forced my hand to saying that I knew about this. And I'm like, okay. And then, like, of course, because I was, you know, 18 and stupid, I, like, spent the whole summer being like, nothing is wrong, this is fine. And then I got to college and, you know, would tell people that story, and they're like, that's fucked up, man. It's like, yeah, now that I think about it, probably. So then I immediately texted my mom, and I was like, hey, by the way, I'm not fucking that teacher anymore. And she's like, thank God. She's like, that was a terrible decision you made. It's like, well, why didn't you tell me it's terrible? She's like, I did, but you have to make your own mistakes. I can't tell you no.
Do they understand that, like, your need or level of sharing comes from sort of the seed they planted?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Every time they try to say something to me, like, you know, oh, you know, why are you sharing that with me? Or, like, that's an overshare, TMI or whatever. I'm like, do you forget the things we've talked about growing up as children? Because it's pretty weird.
My favorite thing is I still haven't met them, but I definitely know the story behind when her sister was conceived. It's an amazing story.
Oh, I've heard that. Yes, I've heard that story.
So for those at home, my little sister... Actually, let's just back this up. My parents went to a Halloween party, and we found a photo of them at this Halloween party. And it was October of 1992, which means had they conceived that night, their child would have been born July of 1993, which is when my sister was born. And I found this picture, and I loved it because I was like, oh my God, look at your costumes. These are so great. And my mom was like, oh my God, I forgot about this. I don't even remember that night. And my dad starts laughing, and he's like, oh, I remember that night. And I was like, so I'm assuming you fucked. And he's like, well, yeah, that's the night we conceived your sister. And we both started dying because my parents are dressed like Wayne and Garth. So I was like, well, Dad, this poses a lot of questions about you. Like, you fucked mom and got her pregnant while she was dressed like a dude. What's that say about you? And he's like, I don't know. I love your mom no matter what, I guess.
But the best part is every time she shows this picture, like, oh my God, your mom looks exactly like Garth. Like, exactly like Garth. Constant. Like, her dad looks like her dad.
My dad wearing a Wayne's World hat.
Like a Wayne's World hat and a mullet wig. But her mom looks exactly fucking like Dana Carvey.
Yeah. And she's like making the little perched mouth face. Like, she went all out. But, like, it's fucked my sister up. Like, she hates Wayne's World. It, like, freaks her the fuck out because she cannot disassociate Wayne's World with my parents fucking. And my sister's, like, far more reserved than I am. Like, she had kind of the same, you know, no sugarcoating upbringing that I did, but she's far more sensitive. So my parents sort of, like, backed off. Like, my parents are really good at reading the room. With me, they were like, ah, she can take it. Like, let's just dish it out. My sister would, like, cry, and they're like, oh shit, okay. Let's back it up.
Different approach.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, she was, you know, my sister was allowed to watch whatever she wanted, but she never had any interest in it. Like, she did gravitate towards things that were more age appropriate, where, I don't know, maybe... I have to think that it's because of, like, being a gifted kid or whatever and needing something to challenge me, that, like, it makes me think of, like, the Ali Wong part of her stand-up where she's talking about finding pornography and how, like, whatever you start with, you just get sicker and sicker and sicker, and then you crave things that are sicker. And I think that's what happened with me, is it's like I was too smart for all the baby stuff, so I needed adult things. And then when I got to,
oh,
like,
shit, that's amazing,
more like mature just content, like, I was like, I need more. Yeah, exactly. It's kind
this
of what
isn't
it is.
Cutting it anymore.
I'm glad you're so normal for 27, right?
Yeah.
Thank God.
Entertainment is my drug. But yeah, I mean, I was really well versed in film and television and music by the time, you know, I got to high school. And it was always, it's always kind of fun. I have like this weird mama bear approach to it, because like somebody will message me like, oh my God, have you seen Hedwig and the Angry Inch? This is an amazing musical. There's a drag queen. It's so cool. And I'm like, yeah, I watched that in like fifth grade. But I'm so glad you're discovering it. Let's talk about the themes. Because I've had so long to ruminate on it, and I'm just waiting for you all to catch up to me.
That would be tough though, because it's already a tough age to relate to people. But then especially if you're like, you know, on a maturity level, at least 5 to 10 years ahead of them. And not just from a perspective of being able to handle life, but from a perspective of being able to handle like pop culture and stuff. Like, I couldn't relate to anybody. And I watched all the same shit and wore all the same clothes. And like, that's gotta be hard.
It was really weird. I mean, like, I was big in musicals. I still am. And I remember we were doing a choir concert and we got to pick the theme. And the year before we did some like, R&B thing. And this year I had pitched the idea of doing the British Invasion, and the kids in my class were like the Beatles. And I'm like, well, yeah, like the Beatles and the Stones and the Clash and like just laundry listed all these names. And they're like, I don't know who any of these people are. I was like, oh, fuck. Okay. It's the people who sing this song. And
welcome
like,
to my world.
Like, trying to like get people to understand like things outside of their comfort zone. And it was, I don't know. It was just, it was weird. Like I had like my aha discovery moments like really, really early. But I think because of that, my tastes in a lot of things kind of peaked really early. Like I struggle so hard with superhero movies, which is something that I know people are like rabidly obsessed with.
My boyfriend.
They're like rabidly obsessed with, and I can't get into it because the whole like spectacle of cinema is completely lost on me, because I've just seen so much of it. And in the same regard, like I've seen so many horror movies over the years that I'm completely desensitized to it. And in some instances, that's terrible, because now, like, I don't have those, like, warning receptors going off being like, this is dangerous, you should stop. But at the same time, like, I know comfortably that if I was driving on the side of the road and, like, somebody got hit by a bus, like, I would be able to get out of my car and, like, comfort a bleeding person and be cool with it.
Because you wouldn't be.
Because I would not be affected by the blood or the gore. So, I mean, you win some, you lose some.
Or the stranger
on the side of the road.
You can be desensitized to violence on TV and in the movies. We're all going to be bathing in blood soon.
You too can pick up strangers on the side of the road.
We were just talking about this at work the other day. Like, if I saw someone getting beat, like, even if it was, like, live news or whatever, I'd be like, man, that's crazy. But it wouldn't be like, oh, holy shit, because you just see people getting the shit beat out of themselves. Like, what the fuck am I saying these words? But in real life, if you saw, like, two dudes, like, throwing fists, you'd just be like, oh, holy shit, that's nuts, and you'd break out your phone. But, you know, it's, like, it's an interesting thing, like, when the receptacles fire off in your brain, like, as far as, you know, if it's happening in front of you versus on TV versus in the movies. And, like, I mean, do you think that you would in some way still be able to react to something really crazy happening in front of you in real life, or is it pretty much just dead?
I can still react to things. I think that like that's like your body's like natural instinct, but I think that I would spend more time analyzing like, why is this happening, than like, oh, holy shit.
Really?
I think that I'd have the initial like, oh shit, people are fighting, but why are they fighting?
And then you're just like,
what happened here? Like, what's the story behind
be, like,
this?
Taking notes, and these two dudes are just like rolling on the ground, bloodying each other's faces.
Yeah. It takes so much to like shock me or offend me or in some instances entertain me. I know we were talking about this a little bit before we got on air, but ultimately I think so much of the world is just an adult version of playing the penis game, which I assume everyone at home knows what it is.
This is a one reference okay. that I know. This is the only one.
So for those that don't know, the penis game is when you're in public and you progressively shout the word penis louder, and then the person who like chickens out and can't say it louder, like they lose. And I think a lot of entertainment in adult life is just an exaggerated version of the penis game. Like, what they're saying isn't all that poignant or entertaining or humorous. They're just saying it because, holy shit, I just said penis. And it's like that, but that doesn't work for me. So, you know, when I go to open mics and hear white people say the N-word, or when I, you know, damn it, Jess.
So tweet.
Or when I like watch a movie and there's like ridiculous gore without any sort of like substance as to why there is now this random gore scene, like it doesn't affect me. And if anything, I'm more offended because I find it to be so lazy, because at the end of the day, you're just screaming penis. Like, you're not bringing anything to the table. You're just screaming penis. And that's really juvenile, and you need to kind of get your shit together.
The first time I learned about it, I was, I think, a senior in college. That's how, like, either it's a testament to how sheltered and non-social I was, or also how immature my classmates are. Or, hey, porque no las dos. But I remember that I had a friend in my Spanish class, and I didn't even understand what was happening. We were just sitting together one day, and all of a sudden he just goes, penis. I was like, what? He's like, penis. And I was like, I don't know what, why is this happening? He's like, penis.
And that's the other thing too. Everybody like starts to like upturn at like different syllables so that it sort of doesn't sound like the right word penis. It's like penis. You're like, and what the fuck are you doing? Just say penis. God damn.
I was just frozen because I just didn't know what was happening. And then I learned later, like, he probably should have been waiting for me to get louder before he got louder.
Right.
But maybe he just maybe he was
supposed to go.
I thought, like, well, because he probably could sense my, like, severe confusion. So he was like, if I just keep saying penis at the same level, then she'll think, like, I'm coming on to her. Offer. Yeah, an offer. Like, if I just keep going penis and I never get louder.
Stay at the whisper tone.
Like, she'll just think I've been possessed by, like.
See, but that would never work if women did that. Like, if they just, like, walked into a room and were like, pussy. Like, no one's gonna do that. And if you yell it, like, go into a room and scream pussy, they think you're insulting somebody.
Probably.
It's bullshit. It's a terrible double standard.
I agree. We should start calling everyone penises. Penises and vaginas.
I mean, you can call someone a dick, but
I know. It's weird. It's, the English is fucked, man. I don't know why we speak this stupid ass language. Let's go back to the King's. King's English.
The King's English.
Ye old thee. What were we saying earlier? It was a biblical quote. I thought it was a Shakespeare quote. They know not what they do. I was like, that's Shakespeare, right?
I threw in my own abridged version of that, but I don't remember the context now.
The Book of Matthew? I've done Godspell 3 times. That's the only thing I know about the Book of Matthew.
Fucking clue.
I don't know why I get cast in that show so much.
But what were we talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, because we were talking about the Antichrist.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that. Of course we were talking about the Antichrist.
You know, it's a Tuesday.
It was like one does.
It's a very light conversation.
Like one like one does when they talk about the Antichrist. No, I was going to say, no, that's a great point about the double standard, because I think you both were there. I told a joke a couple weeks ago where I ended it in suck my labes, and the whole room went, and I was like, oh, now if I'd said suck my dick, you guys would have all laughed. And then they, of course, all burst out laughing. And I was like, yeah, fuck you. Labes are funny. I'm bringing labes.
We do need to bring labes back, because it's funny. And like, okay, so now that you're bringing that up too, that's another problem I have with sugarcoating, is that my parents like raised me with everything being so clinical.
You don't know slang?
It's not that I don't know slang. It's just that I never use it. And everyone's like, why?
You appreciate the scientific terminology.
I think it's like, I get annoyed when people are like, yeah, I'm going to lick that vagina. I'm like, no, you're going to lick the vulva, you fucking idiot.
Like, I have never heard that.
Like,
in my
if you're
life.
Licking a vagina, that's you are like so putting your great. Tongue inside of somebody. Did yeah, you I not mean, pay attention
at least
in science class?
Pussy is ambiguous enough that
right.
like you can just be like, yeah, sure, you're licking pussy. And there's no specific piece that you're like
there's
talking
plenty
about.
Of things you could be talking about. I get like, I don't, and like, that's the thing. I shouldn't get annoyed by that, because I realize like not everybody had that experience and I need to not be so mad about it.
I had a friend in high school, but this is more of just an ignorance factor. We were really into Ultimate Frisbee. Stop judging me.
You didn't even give me a second. Well, I mean, you look like a college bro, so.
Right, exactly. Well, they called me the pink blur because I would wear literally head-to-toe pink. And if you know me, you know that that never happens. I would wear head-to-toe pink and then basically just like cherry pick. And I'm a really fast runner. So people, I think it was like this thing, people would see the color pink and just not even look my direction. I was not a worry to them in any sort of athletic game. They were just like, I see pink, out of my periphery. Don't worry about it. And then I would be like, over to the other side. Like, it was awesome. But anyways, my friend got hit with the Frisbee and his, like, hit him in the neck. He bends over and just shouts in the middle of a Frisbee field, my fallopian tubes! And we all looked at him because we knew he wasn't joking. He really thought that he just injured his fallopian tubes.
I want this.
Then we had to explain it.
This is it piggybacks off what you said and then goes back to me not being able to sugarcoat anything. I was in college and sitting at a lunch table with a girl I was seeing and a guy from like the music department and then a guy from the theater department. So like people who tend to be more like open and liberal sort of, like they're not as conservative people. And we were talking about somebody who was like not good at sex. I don't know what the context was, but all I remember was like looking at them and saying, well, it sounds like they probably think that you piss and bleed out of the same hole, and then started drinking. And then I look across the table and one of these college-aged men like stared at me and they like didn't break eye contact. And I'm like, holy shit, you didn't know that, did you?
You saw their face just turn
just,
white.
Just like, wait, I rocked what? Their worldview. And they like they stared at me and they're like, so then where does it go? And I went, are you... what the fuck is wrong with you? And like, I just kind of went off. I was like, how do you not understand this? Do you not watch pornography? And did no one ever teach you? I'm very confused here.
There's just too many holes and in this class.
And I like went off and I like, I feel bad because I like totally humiliated this dude because my brain was like, how is this not common knowledge for you?
But that's really scary. I mean, just basic.
It's biology. Basic anatomy. Yeah.
That
yeah.
man went on to become president like, of the
well, that's
United
the thing. This dude has a PhD in trumpet performance.
I really thought you were going to say Trump University. And I was like, wait, shit, that was right. I didn't think I was going to write.
No, but he does look like the leader of the Cobra Kai. Like, he's everything. He is everything Hitler dreamed about. So, yeah, he trumpet. Had... Yeah, he's a doctor in trumpet performance.
That's not a thing. Trumpet doctor.
He's a trumpet doctor.
Trumpet
I'm picturing him in a white coat with one of those old school little reflectors on his head, and he's got a stethoscope up to like just like the valves.
He's like going like this, and he's like play a couple notes.
He's a military doctor checking in on the bugle on the war front.
He's got a little stretcher, and he's got the bugle on it, and he's taking it into the barracks.
Yeah, oh, I could not like I could not believe it. And then I remember after like he left the table, all my friends were like, that was really harsh, wow. Beach. Like you made him feel like a fucking idiot. And I was like, to be fair, he's a fucking idiot. Like, I mean, for not knowing that.
He got an education.
But that's the thing. He wasn't an idiot. He was
I'm sorry,
just
I thought this
ignorant.
Was college.
That's the thing. He wasn't an idiot.
This was
he
a
was
temple
just
of learning.
Ignorant. And that's a thing I have to remind myself that people aren't just inherently stupid for not knowing things. They just may not know. And it's okay to educate them. And I don't have to feel bad about it.
Yeah, preach that. Because I had a relationship once where he and his whole family thought they were the smartest people on the block. And the thing is, they weren't happy to educate you. So when you were like, what does that mean? They got real angry with you. Like, are you a fucking moron? I'm like, no, I don't know anything about the stock exchange, sir. Please stop screaming. Could you just please elaborate? I don't know what that means. So I'm supposed to buy high. No! And he flips the table. He's like, out of control. We should probably wrap this up. We could probably do this for the next 16 hours. Beach, what kind of upcoming projects? You mentioned something, Dread Central Presents, and they are they're going to be showing off some exclusive screenings here in the 216.
Yeah. So dreadcentral.com, which is the website that I work for, was recently acquired by the wonderful folks over at Epic Pictures. You may know them from films like Turbo Kid or Big Ass Spider or Tales of Halloween. The latter are on Netflix, so you're welcome. But they have recently started a screening
series where 9 cities in the country as of right now, Cleveland being one of them, so suck it, Chicago, even though it's where I'm from, we'll be doing one-night-only screenings of a different horror movie every single month. We're kicking it off at the Capitol Theater on January 25th at 7 o'clock with a double feature of Turbo Kid and this like crazy Hong Kong zombie comedy called Zombiology. Enjoy yourself tonight. And it's... there's like zombie chickens in it, and it's in Hong Kong or in Chinese. So it's...
is it live action?
Yeah, it's live action. Okay. It's totally apeshit. It's so much fun. When I picture zombie
chickens, I just think of robot chicken immediately. So I really wanted it to be...
yeah, it's a blast. But we'll be doing these once a month. It'll be hosted by myself and Zach Schillwachter of Sickening Pictures. And it's kind of like a horror movie book club is the best way I can describe it, because every month is going to be something wildly different. Like we have a movie called Hashtag Screamers, which is like a found footage sort of like ghost hunting movie. And then we have a film called Terrifier, which is a... clown slasher, and it's super gory. Then we'll have something like a little bit more subdued, like Imitation Girl, which is like a science fiction, like art house movie. So if you don't like what we have one month, you may like what we have the next month, but we'll be doing them every month at the Capitol. And we're also partnering with their cinema late night series as well. So good shit for Cleveland.
This girl has all the things. She does all the things in the world. And one of the main reasons I started this podcast is because I also wanted to have more things than just one when she has all the million. I wanted to be kind of in the middle because you do like a million podcasts too. And she has like a million followers on Twitter. And she was actually I don't want to say you were Twitter famous for a time because you're still Twitter famous, but you had a big spike in fame there. A couple.
If you follow me on Twitter, do not fucking message me about the goddamn airport story because I will drink bleach.
Or if you do message her, make nice comments and compliment her on how amazing it was.
My fucking mom was just at O'Hare Airport and there was a big banner up and it was like, while you're waiting for your flight, things that you can do. And it was for like breast cancer screening. So of course, like the last one was like, check yourself for breast cancer. But it was like, you could eat this food, or you could go here, or you could live tweet a public breakup. And my mom sent it to me and I was like, this is very pointed and this ad is personally attacking me right now. This is horseshit.
Did you ever hear about that, Jeez? Oh, the whole thing? Okay, yeah. Twitter does memories like a couple times a day and they post like whatever tweets are getting like the most like publicity. And like, so Beach was like a Twitter memory or a Twitter story, like headline at one
point. There's also, I think there's a page in Cleveland Magazine this month that's like just about my Twitter thing. I think it's this month. So if you get Cleveland Magazine, my Twitter feed.
And then what, Netflix so and the show retweeted your tweet thread, which was amazing.
That was
like,
so stupid.
That was bananas.
Yeah. So
it got out of hand.
So yeah, if you want to follow her, she's at BJ Colangelo, just like it sounds and spells. And she is at BJ Colangelo on Twitter. You're also that on Instagram as well. So follow her. But you know, if you're gonna try to slide in her DMs, Jesus Christ, man! Like,
I might put them on display for all.
Spit some decent game. She's heard literally fucking everything. Like, try harder.
My name's BJ. God damn it!
Yeah,
harder. Think I have not heard a joke? You're wrong.
There's not even medium hanging fruit here. Like, you just need to keep reaching. You need to keep reaching. I want to thank, of course, I want to thank BJ Colangelo for being our guest today. I also want to shout out Pete Milk, Milky Way Recordings. He does an amazing job for us here every week, putting together this ye old podcast. Of course, shout out to Lousy Weather Media and Above Below Entertainment, El Hardano Diablo, and OK Pants for making our logo. He did a kick-ass job. I'm going to have him make me a bunch of things to hang in my house. I think that's it. What should, I'm thinking our sound effect we should go out with this week is the penis game. You want to start us off, Jeej?
Make sure you pull away from the mic or Pete will die.
Oh, okay. Penis.
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 Okay, love you, bye.